righteousness, and I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground. Support me in the whirling flood, when all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay.
Your kingdom forever will stand. Christ, the great commander. You conquer death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Yeah. And we declare your name is power. Exalted one, your name is higher. You stand alone, a strong defender. Above you there's no other. Above you there's no other. And we declare your name is power.
We serve a mighty God. Amen. All right. Happy birthday, Kelly. Yeah. Woo! 16, right? We got some awesome stuff to praise God for. And in the back, the Amen Corner is back. Let's hear it for Gary.
Amen. Woo!
Gary Ashby's back with Woo! Us today, so praise God for that. All right. Awesome. You guys are ready today, aren't you? It's cold outside. We want to warm up. Don't worry. Tuesday's coming. It's going to be 65. Normal weather. So, got anything, Wayne?
I do, man. I got a great word for you, Jack. Hubris. Is that your sermon today? Does that word exist in your sermon today?
No, but it's, well, maybe.
Well, I mean, your favorite author talked about how, like, it's hubris and, you guys know what that means?
No, I was just gonna
word of the day, you know, this is like a Schoolhouse Rock this morning. So it means great pride. It means to be, you know, overconfident. It means to just have arrogance. And I was reading about it, you know, I was reading about the downfall of Sears. You know, that was a great store in our time. You know, all you folks that were my age or a little older than me or younger, you know, but you remember that Sears catalog came out and the Christmas wish list, and you guys filled it out and you wrote down all of your wishes, and you even subtotaled it and put taxes down for your parents and said, hey, Mom, just $250 and my Christmas is complete. Did you guys do that? No. Okay. You guys have Amazon, you know, Kelly, all you folks. You never knew Sears catalog, but, you know, you missed out. So they talked about how, like, the reason why these big companies fail is because of hubris. Arrogance, pride, you know, they just overconfident. You know, Sears never thought that Walmart was going to pass them up by $25 billion in 10 years. So they missed the target. You know, you think a lot about how, you know, even churches fail the same way. And we think about, you know, even, so in Greek context, when they talk about hubris, they talk about a downfall, the downfall of man from God. And I think it's really a powerful word. When you think about hubris today, we're talking about Noah. You know, the people must have had great hubris for him to destroy the earth the way he did. So that's your word today, Jack. Word power.
Hubris.
Hubris.
Everybody say hubris.
Hubris.
Yeah, that was pretty lame, but we'll go with it. No, I like it. It actually will fit. It will fit. You have to wait and see. Stay tuned, right? New song today, right?
It is, you know, so song is called Flood My Soul. So, you know, we talk about, you know, flooding the earth, but, you know, we can't do that now, so... God promised not to flood the earth again, but we asked him to flood our souls this morning. Amen? Yep. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
gaze to the kingdom. Ignite my love for your name.
Sing it.
Set my gaze to the kingdom. I cling to you, oh Lord of all, strong deliverer. Oh, my life is yours. Oh, 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 surrender everything I am to you, my only hope. Oh, my life is
shall come with trumpet sound.
God, we thank you for once again bringing us here to worship you and recognize that when everything else is shaken, you are not. And so, God, during this time, whatever is going on, and there's a lot going on in our community and our world and even in our own lives. And God, we just need you here today. And so just minister to us as you see fit. And we'll just love you regardless. And we know that you will love us. And so, God, whatever this this week holds, whatever this day holds, we know that we serve a mighty God. And in your name we pray. Amen. All right, at this time, our children go to our Shoreline Ministry. And everybody else say hello to one another. How we doing?
Good.
I didn't want to say good morning. I just said, how we doing? Kelly, how are you? You get your license? Okay. Maybe. Okay, that's a maybe. All right, anybody says, did you get the license? Maybe. You're glad that's a maybe right now. Well, you're going to get it. You'll go, girl. So that'll be awesome. All right, welcome. We're glad that you're joining with us today. We want to welcome everybody here. We also want to welcome Haven Church Online, and we also want to welcome Facebook. Let's watch. Welcome all our online viewers. Go ahead. There you go. All right, so we're glad that everybody is here worshiping with us and all that good stuff. All right, so if you're a visitor and you're here, we have a small gift for you. Just fill out the card. Hopefully you received it. If you did not receive a card, so one of our ushers will go ahead and get that to you so that you can go ahead and we can make some connections and have a small gift for you. All right? Couple other things. You can see this Saturday, March 11th, I am not ashamed, the story of Rachel Joy Scott. Many of you remember Columbine. And the tragedy that occurred there. This is her story, and it's rated PG-13 with some difficult scenes. But you can also check out the information if you're interested in that. The information is on the bulletin sheet, or you can also check online. Mission trip planning meeting after church today. Where are they meeting? Right over here. That's a perfect place, right by our cross. So you can go ahead and meet with that if you're interested in that today. Also, we have an announcement here supporting our soldiers with care packages. There is an insert in there. You can give a note in the insert. You can flip that over, write that back, or anyone who's deployed, you can write that on the back, a note, and send that off. You can donate anything. Yeah, you got to go ahead and do this. I don't know what I'm talking about. There's a flyer that says everything in there, but I'll refer to Jill.
So basically, if you want to help, Jim Thompson has been deployed just recently. We prayed for him a little bit ago. And so there's some things, obviously, that he could use. So you can first, if you want to, turn that sheet over, write a note on it of encouragement. And you can drop that in. There's a box out here in the lobby with, like, stars and stripes on it. You can't miss it. Also, if you want to donate something, there's some items. We're going to send him a care package. So on that flyer, there's a bunch of items. And then we're going to be taking that over the next 2 weeks. And then the last thing is, if you want to just give cash so that the church can buy some of those items, you can drop that in the box as well. Thank you.
All right, good. How's he doing? Good. I know he checks in every once in a while on Facebook. Hi, Jim. Everybody say hi, Jim.
Hi.
There you go. All right, good. So hopefully, if he's not watching today, somebody named Jim is. Okay, so we'll go with that. All right. So you can please go ahead and do that. That's a great opportunity. Parish Foundation Dinner, March 19th. Couple opportunities. There you go. Couple opportunities. Be sure to go ahead and fill that out. April the 5th, which is coming sooner than we realize. Mark your calendars. We will have our free Narcan training here. We have done that several years, and that has been extremely beneficial in those areas. Okay? So we want to check out some of the other announcements that are there or on the calendar. We're going to go to our time of our prayer list. Jim Legullo is asking for prayers for safe travels as they head to Florida this week. Okay, so definitely enjoy. Kate Allen has asked for prayers for her family and her grandfather, who is heading to the end of his life dealing with cancer, the end stages there. We already went through this, but we're going to do it again. Kelly, happy birthday. That's from your mommy. All right. Emily Hewitt asked for prayers for Kay Halter. She's having a pacemaker replacement, correct? Emily also asked for praise for Wesley, who had minor surgery after being in a van accident and the other car that T-boned him, right? So you good? We didn't know about that, okay? So that's good. Jill, thank you for the cards and prayer of praise. Her voice is, the issues are not permanent. So as the Terminator, she said, I'll be back, all right? She did that. We also would be remiss. There's a lot of different things that we got to lift up in our prayer request this week. I asked that you pray for Danny Evans and his family. I went to school with Danny. Danny is struggling with lots of cancer, and he's 46, 47 years old. And there's a benefit tonight down at the Naughty Goose for him, but he is really struggling. I know many of us, some of you may have gone to school with his sisters, Suzanne, Rachel, Esther, and the rest, Mary Beth, and several of the other ones. So just lift them in your prayers. Also, Josh Hamer, we want to lift up his family. Josh was a young man who was, I think, in a month going to be 16 years old, who was in a very tragic accident in Harford County. He lived in the Rising Sun Northeast area, had lots of talent, a great kid, part of Young Life and other things, and sadly, the accident took his life. And so we want to lift him up, as well as his uncle, who was driving the car and who is dealing with lots of injuries, and his parents and the family and friends, that you just don't, you recover maybe for some of the physical injuries, but the loss of such a loved and powerful individual, and also anyone who knew him, just lift them all up in your prayers. So, and then the other one that we want to lift up our own brother in Christ, Ray Caldwell. His wife, Barb, passed away last night. So it was a very, very rapid decline with cancer. And, you know, Ray is a faithful guy. And Ray said, I know that I don't want my wife to suffer, but, you know, it's hard. It's also hard. So be praying for his family. I know that services will be at Perryville, the funeral home there, but I'm not quite sure when. We will make sure that we have that information go out. So a lot of other things that were going on here. Were there any other kinds of things that we need to lift up on our prayer list this week? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we are in a mix, like all of life, we are in a mix of joy as well as dealing with some sorrow. And so, God, as we look at this time together, with you, we need something. We need you to come into our hearts and our minds and really make a difference. We have people who are with us who are celebrating birthdays and anniversaries and other things like that. Yet in the midst of that, God, we also are focusing on those who have tragic loss. There's so many things that we've listed on our prayer list today, and yet some make absolutely no sense. A young man who has such a promising future and just a senseless accident, that's exactly what it is, an accident, takes his life from the midst of ours. And we don't know where to turn. I ask you to pray for his whole entire family as he deal with this. For Barb and Ray, who thought that they may have a couple more months together to deal with things and to go through it. And so suddenly, after the diagnosis, she's gone. For a 46-year-old man who's holding on to life, family, it makes no sense. And yet, God, our lives are so confusing. They're woven so strangely, both purpose and of chance. And yet, we live our lives so often as we've just got unlimited time. And yet, none of us know exactly what tomorrow will bring. We don't know what the future holds, but God, as the old saying goes, we know who holds the future. And so during this time right now, I want to thank you, God, for everything, that all the blessings and the joys that we share in each ounce of our lives. I thank you for the lives that have now gone on to be with you. And I thank you that one day, God, through faith and belief in Jesus Christ, your Son, where we say, I need a Savior, and you're it. You're the only one. That we're able to go ahead and also recognize that one day we will see you face to face. And all this old order of things will pass away. There'll be no more sorrow, no mourning, no death. But God, it'll be like a party every day with you as the guest of honor. So God, right now we take this time to give back to you, because we know there are many, many more struggling in this world with all these and many other concerns. There's many who are dealing with poverty and addiction and just loss. And I pray that, God, we will be exactly what our name means, a haven, a safe place where people can come and connect to God Almighty. And so, God, here we are. Empty us out and fill us with your Holy Spirit. And as we give, I ask for a blessing over the giver and the tither. And I also ask that, God, you multiply these gifts to further your kingdom around the world. And we claim and ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Scripture this morning is from Genesis 6, verses 5 through 8. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord.
Welcome, Haven Church. Everybody good? All right, good. We have two more weeks of big dogs, including today. All right, today our big dog is going to be Noah. Noah, we know we already talked about that. So we got Noah. How many of you know the story of Noah? Okay, a lot of us, even people who aren't who haven't been brought up in churches and stuff, know the story of Noah with the flood. And hopefully it's not just the basis of the Russell Crowe movie. Okay, just letting you know, a lot's messed up there. But anyway, so we have been in this series called Running with the Big Dogs. And you know what I'm going to ask, don't you? How are my big dogs? Okay, there we go. Somebody who just came here for the first time is like, get me out of here. All right. Or somebody's barking at home and somebody's like, what? What? Okay, there we go. So we have been dealing with several of our big dogs. Week one, we talked about a guy named Elisha. Right, Elisha. The second week, the next week, we talked about a lady named Rebecca. Remember Rebecca? Okay, hanging out at the well. And then we talked about a guy named Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And then last week, we talked about Sarah. And this week, we're going to talk about Noah. So we've been a lot in the book of Genesis. The big dog, I guess I could rename it the big dogs in Genesis, running with those big dogs. But today, next week, we're going to jump to the New Testament, but we're going to talk about the one who always was and always is and always will be, and his name is Jesus, and that's going to be awesome. But basically, we took this series and started this series based from the book in the Bible called Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the Hall of Fame of Faith, okay? It has a whole bunch of people who have been faithful to God. And they kind of give us hope. And then this section starts this way, and here's the verse right here. It says, therefore, and whenever you see a therefore, you need to find out what it's therefore. There we go. You learned something in this series. That's awesome. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and who are those witnesses? Those from Hebrews 11, all those people of faith. Not only the ones in the Bible and the Scripture, but those people of faith. How many had somebody in your life, like a grandmother, grandfather, a mother, somebody who's now gone on to be with the Lord, but was that person of faith? You know what I mean? Who prayed for you when you were not
worthy to be prayed for, right? You know what I mean? Those people that they were this, they just always would say stuff to you, even when you were in the pit of hell, just enjoying yourself down there. You thought they prayed for you and they were there for you. You're surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses cheering you on. So then it says, let us throw off everything that hinders us and easily entangles us. I even have that picture on the front of the bulletin this week. So it's like that stuff. It tells us that it's not easy to run this race of life. Am I right? We shared today in our prayer list that there are some things that people are weighing them down in this race of life. All right? And so we have a lot of that. So we say, let's throw off everything that hinders us and let us run with, and we talked about this last week, the P word, perseverance. The race that is marked out for us. And so what we were talking about in this series is a guy named John Maxwell wrote a book several years ago. He's written lots of books. But one of the things he did, he came up with the concept that, you know, when you're in a stadium, anybody ever been to a baseball stadium or a football stadium? And when people start to cheer, what does it sound like? Right? And there's not people sitting in the stands going, there's people talking, but it's crowd noise, right? It's crowd noise. So if I got all of you here to just start talking to the top of your lungs, I wouldn't be able to hear it. Ready? Let's try it. Just talk about whatever. Ready? One, two, three. Hear that? You made no sense, okay? And so what happens when we do that, if we're running a race, it's like you can always tell, there's like the one parent, go, Billy, run! You got this! Right, there's always that one. But there's everybody else, you know, you have that. And sometimes they're yelling from the 700 section and nobody hears them anyway. It's probably better, am I right? Particularly if you're an Eagles fan, okay? So this is what's going on. And so what if one of these great people of faith, what we're calling the big dogs of faith, can come down and take a lap with you, what would they say to you is what the premise of this whole series has been. And I think this is one that we'll see later again, maybe next year or maybe another time. And so we're looking at Noah here today, and we want to hear what Noah has to say to us. And, you know, if I was just sort of thinking today, what are some things that Noah might say to us? And I want you to see, these are things we aren't going to cover today, but I just thought they were kind of interesting. I think Noah would say to us, don't miss the boat. That's good. Keep it up. Okay. The next thing he would say, take a boat building class, even if there's no rain. Do that in school. Because you know how long it took Noah to build this ark? 120 years. It took him 120 years. I think the next thing he might ask God is a big pooper scooper and ask for a way to get rid of the crap on the boat. Right? Anybody have a cat never cleaned out a litter box? Can you imagine 40 days of big cats? Exactly. There we go. And elephants and all kinds of other things. And then I think if I had a chance, I might ask Noah some questions myself. Like, for instance, I'd say, Noah, snakes, really? Couldn't you just, like, gotten rid of them? Anybody like that? What about rats? How many like spiders? The big, you know what spiders, they say, are doubling in size every so many years? In some places, they have spiders the size of poodles. Yeah, freaked you out, didn't I? All right. Or what about this? Like, Noah, couldn't you just go on like this and gotten rid of mosquitoes? Wouldn't that have been awesome? Just get rid of the mosquitoes. We wouldn't have to deal with them right away. So these are some of the questions that we want to ask. But let's look at this. The Bible, I want to tell you, is not written for us in chronological order all the way. Okay? The Bible is actually grouped by themes. Like, for instance, you have the history books. You have the prophets. Okay? You have the literature books, the poetry. And so you'll have things. So like, for instance, when you get to the Psalms, you'll have the Psalms of David and you'll have all this kind of stuff with Psalms. But then the history of David is back in another section, Samuel, okay? And then you'll get some more in Kings and other kinds of things. So you have this kind of thing. So as we're looking here, biblical history as we know it, and we're not going to get into the old earth, new earth kind of stuff like that right now, but I want to say from what we know of history, most biblical scholars believe that we're looking about 6,000 years deep, and Adam is about 4,000 years or so before Jesus, and we've lived about 2,000 plus years since Jesus, okay? So that's where we get our 6,000. Noah somewhere that we learned is about 10 generations from Adam, so we're looking about 3,000 or so B.C. before Christ, okay? And so one of the things that we have to learn here is the earth was very different at this time. The earth, I've heard somebody really talk about the fallenness of humanity, is that it's kind of like when you're born and everything's perfect, everything seems to be right, but then you're susceptible to more diseases and other things in this fallen world. That the earth actually became more diseased the more sin there was. God created it, and everything he said, this is what? Good. God created something, he said, this is? Good. God created man, he said, this is? God created woman, and he said, whoa, man. Okay, right? No. But he said, this is good, right? These all things, took it from Adam's rib, this was good. Created the animals, it was night and day, good. Earth, all that stuff, it is good. Now, through sin, it started to get bad, okay? Knowledge of good and evil. So things started to get diseased. And so as we see, now we have, you know, it's very interesting that it seems like once we are able to, through medicine, cure a disease, we have something else that we never knew that was there, right? Everybody remember swine flu? Okay, so we'll deal with that. And you know, talking to an infectious disease doctor one time when Dad was going through things, they told us that we are only like two antibiotics ahead of what's going on. So that if we get behind it all, we are in deep trouble. We're talking about mass deaths because of things like Black Plague kind of stuff, right? And so this is the kind of things that happen. That makes you feel good today. You got spiders that are growing and you got Black Plague. Hey, what a wonderful world, okay? I want to do Louis Armstrong. And I say to myself. Okay, sorry.
What a wonderful world.
Okay, all right. But anyway, so here we are. The earth is different at this time. It's not diseased, and it's not as fallen as it once was. And so people, as we see up to this point, live in the hundreds of years. Noah himself was 500 years before he had kids. That's a great idea, isn't it? You know, 400-500 years. He had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Noah lived to be 950 years old, and he didn't start building the ark until he was 600 years old. Now, some of you may say right now, come on, Jack, get real. This is like where it starts to be that fairy tale. But if you look at the process, after this earth was flooded and there became this kind of re-diseased earth, reformed earth, this negative earth, that you begin to see the numbers drop off to the point where Moses only lived to about 120. And God says they won't live any more than 120. And we've had people close, but not there. It's really interesting since that point. Matter of fact, Noah's grandfather has a great name named Methuselah. Anybody heard of Methuselah? Like, for instance, you may look at somebody, at your friend, and say, you're old as Methuselah, right? And Methuselah lived to be 969 years old, all right? And it's very interesting. This is a subnote. The year he died was the same year that the flood came. Doesn't say he was righteous. He might have been outside knocking on the boat, all right? But all we know is that he was the oldest one that was there. And so how did all this water come? There was no rain at this point. Rain was not needed because what would happen is the water would come up from underneath and take care of plants and vegetation. How many like plants? How many would like to never have to water a plant again? It was kind of cool. It just took care of it. It's like, whoop, there you go. And so it was this kind of earth that was here. So, but the earth had become extremely wicked. And I believe when we have the new heaven and the new earth, that this God's going to reboot it. He's going to give us a new earth, where the old order of things passes away. Now, you may say, Jack, you know, this seems kind of far-fetched. I'm just going to tell you what I believe right here. I believe in the inspired word of God, that all scripture, I believe scripture interprets scripture, and scripture says all scripture is God-breathed, which means it came from the mouth of the Lord. And I know that at times translators, you know, one of the cool things is translators, even when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, translation seems almost exactly the same. So God's hand is in that. So I'm gonna believe in this as I share with you about Noah's Ark. And we know from all other kinds of things in the world that there always is this massive flood narrative that we have. And so it's kind of like, you may be like this, the story of the young girl who went ahead and had to do a term paper. And she did a term paper on Jonah. And she went in and she said, she did the whole thing on Jonah, you remember him, swallowed by a great fish. She put down a whale at this time because a lot of people think of that way. And so they ask, the teacher said, well, there's no way I believe in that. Not in the least. I mean, because whales can't possibly do, not a fish that I really think could do that. She goes, well, I'm going to tell you, when I get to heaven, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to ask Jonah. And he said, well, what if Jonah's not there in heaven? She said, well, you ask him. All right. So some of us may go ahead. I wouldn't say that's a good method to share with people. However, sometimes we may feel that way. Now, Elisha in week one, we started with the same way that we did here. And the thing that I think Elisha and Noah have in common is that they're going to both start with this. when you wonder if your life counts, how many of you have ever wondered whether any of this that you're doing counts at all, makes any sense at all? What I believe Noah would say, though, is one person can make a difference. One person can make a difference. And I believe that God needs every person to make a difference. Look at the person next to you and say, you got to make a difference. God wants you to make a difference. All right, God wants us to make a difference. God created you special and gave you a special purpose. Let's look what it says in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And this is printed in your bulletin. Now the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only to do evil. Now I want to tell you something, and we're going to talk about this a little bit toward the end. Noah is quoted or talked about twice in the New Testament, once by Jesus and once in 2 Peter. And in each thing, it's talking about the end times. And they start off by saying that humanity is like it was in the days of Noah. And every thought was evil. Can you imagine every single thought or every inclination? Jesus said, the same as in Noah's day. And so, you know, let's look at our world today. We have child molestation, elder abuse. We have gross immorality all over the place. We have human trafficking. As a matter of fact, I looked at some recent numbers from 2014, so they've probably gone up. 14.2 million humans are in human trafficking as far in the labor force. 4.5 million are in human sex trafficking in our world today, and most of them are young girls of the ages of 11 to 13. And 2.2 million are forced into human trafficking by government into work and labor. We are in the days of Noah, in case you don't know, where wickedness seems to expand. And look at what God's response was to this. He saw the wickedness that was going on, and the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with what? Pain. Sometimes I think God looks at the world and says, man, I'm in pain from what you're doing. I want to love you. And so God says this, I will wipe mankind, whom I created from the face of the earth. Men, and look at how sin began to just spread. Men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I've made them. But Noah, of everybody there, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. What a powerful method that is. One person is going to make a huge difference here. Noah is going to save all of humanity because of who he is. You see, one of the things that we do in life, we live life for me. We live life for us. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to do mine. And we spend so many years chasing after me, that we forget that we can make a difference and an impact on the greater world. And that's what I want to share with you today. I want to share with you three areas that we can really make a difference. All right, we're going to start there. And so this is Noah. He's out of the stands now. He's got his running sandals on, and we're ready to go. Okay? So he starts off. The first thing that I think that Noah says that you can make a difference, that you can make a difference for your family. For your family. Now I'm going to redefine the term family. Those of you who were with us on the five that we did, you're going to hear some of the things that are familiar. But let's look at Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. So Noah has been building this ark. All right, he's been building this ark. And it says, the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Now let's look at that. Look at the you here. You go into the ark because you are righteous. The righteousness, the goodness, the trustworthiness, the commitment to God is wrapped up in the you. The you is Noah. And your whole family. God, now, we got to look at this. God never said, your family is all righteous. Okay? We'll learn a little bit later about his sons, that they're a little bit off in this and not like Noah. But because Noah was found righteous, it affected those close to him. Now, if you look at Acts 16:31, we don't have it on the screen here today, but I do. It is in your notes. It says, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your what? Now, I've got to stop here, and I've got to correct this. Just because you as an individual come to Christ and have an effect and say, I accept Jesus as my Savior and Lord, doesn't mean that hellion brother or sister of yours goes to heaven as well. That's not what it means. This is where we have to go back to the Greek, and we have to find this. Many of you remember when we did the five, I shared that the word in Greek is actually translated as oikos, like the yogurt, remember? And it actually means sphere of influence. So let me rephrase this. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, and your salvation will affect your sphere of influence. Make sense? So here we are. In other words, the scripture is very clear about letting your light shine, being salt and light, affecting those around you. You need to live lives of impact, that sphere of influence. And what sociologists show us is our sphere of influence, just to remind you, is about 12 to 17 people. They're people that you spend about an hour or so with, if not more, a week. Remember the lifesavers I handed out? How many ate them? How many of you still have them for that person? Okay. How many of you have been actively attempting to impact that person's life for Christ? Okay, so we need a refresher. Every once in a while, we got to check in with things. So this is what this means here. So by your salvation, you will impact others. So what he's saying is, number one, you can make a difference to your family, meaning the sphere of influence. Number two, for your generation. Beatles fans are singing, I'm talking about my generation right here. For when David, look at this, the responsibility that you have is to your generation. You are here for this time. Right now, God has you at this moment for this time. The great story of Esther talks about that you are here for such a time as this. Every single one of us is Esther. We all have a purpose and a way that we can influence those around us and even our generation. What would Calcutta, India do without the impact of Mother Teresa? What would Miriam do if Susie and Ed, God hadn't planned them for this time? And not just her, but all the others that are being affected. God has placed you here for this time, for a purpose. Satan wants to try to trick you during this, and he wants to try to distract you. And we often end up saying, what can I do to enhance my life? How can I enhance me? But it's not always about me. You know, we struggle at times between church and self. I think church is not about what I can get this week and go, woo, I got it and go. Church should be like halftime. How many ever watch a football game? Is there anybody on the field who says, I'm just going to stay out here and run while you guys go in for halftime? Everybody takes a break, am I right? Who played football? Couldn't wait for halftime, right? You got in halftime, it gave you a chance to, let's go. If you were really getting your butt kicked, you go, all right, guys, let's change the game plan. Let's go ahead and change it. Let's try something different here. Or if you're winning, you're saying, okay, they're going to try to change stuff. How are we going to adapt? It gives you a chance to rework the game plan so you can win the game. Am I right? Okay? It also gives you time to nurse some of those injuries. It gives you time to get some refreshment. That's what church is. Church is like halftime in the midst of your game of life. Okay? And so as you're going through there, if we didn't have that time, I've heard people say to me time and time again, you know, when they don't go to church, they don't connect in church, that they feel like something's missing. Anybody ever said that? Yeah, because you're playing the game of life and you're not getting a break, you're not getting refreshed, you're not getting the talk to say, let's go back out there. Here's what I'm going to give you to go back out there this week. And so it's not about more and more that I need, because I think some of us are overeducated to non-action. That we know so much about the Word of God. Like, we've heard this story of Noah a billion times. We've seen it on nursery walls. We talk about all the two-by-two walking in, and we know all the story of Noah. It's been given to us in sight and sound, which is awesome to see. It's been given to us in Russell Crowe, which is interesting. Let's put it that way. And so we have all these kind of things that we have, and we've seen it. We've even seen, what's his name? Oh, gosh, John Voight. Didn't he play it on the Bible, that one Bible movie? And he was hanging out with, like, Abraham, and it's all weird and messed up. But that's how we know. It's so part of our vernacular that we see. If I started walking two by two somewhere with animals, somebody say, there goes Noah. We understand that, but we're missing out. We have so much knowledge about it, but we don't understand the righteousness that Noah had that put him in that position in the first place. And that's where we need to be. Like, for instance, how many of you, I can see right now, how many of you have ever worn glasses? Okay. All right, how many of you are nearsighted? How many, anybody farsighted? That's interesting. Okay, so, you know, like, I remember when I was young, finding out I was nearsighted, and I always thought, like, you know, eye doctors, it's kind of weird. Like, they give you the terminology, and you say, no, I can see close up, and they say, yeah, that's right. It's kind of like going to a doctor with a broken leg and them saying, oh, you have, an arm works well. You know what I mean? It's kind of, they say what is good with you. You know, it's just kind of weird. But am I right, Becky? Nearsighted, you can see up here. Okay, so years ago, I had LASIK, and I was nearsighted, which means anything out here, I was kind of like, and you do like one of these things? Or you wear the glasses. I'd sleep with my glasses on and all that kind of stuff because I didn't want to wake up in the middle of the night and the TV be on, not be able to see it. I know I'm weird. But I finally had LASIK surgery, and they took me in, and they went ahead and made a little slit, lift my eye back, and went, you know, and it kind of made me tense because I was like a dentist. I thought it was like in the dentist chair. And one thing I found out, if I ever lose my legs, I can walk on my butt, you know, from a dentist, you know, because the dentist like, you know, next thing I know, I'm at the bottom, and they're like, bring him back up, you know, those kind of things. But, you know, the most interesting thing, afterwards, it was a little bit foggy, and I went, remember he said, go home, take a nap. I went and took a nap, and when I got up, everything was crystal clear, and I could see that. Now I'm at an age where here is starting to get fuzzy again. You with me? It's called old eyes, and it's nothing they can do about it. It's not fun, okay? So you can tell when somebody has these eyes, when they pull something that they've been able to read for years, and they start doing this. Right? How many are doing that? How many of my mid-40s people are right there with me? All right, there we go. So we start doing some of those things. But what I want to take you back is to nearsighted. Sometimes we have such a nearsighted faith that we see everything that's right here, and we pay not attention to anything else. I think one of the coolest things is over the last couple of years that this church has and the people who have connected here have begun to get our eyes off of right here around us and started to put it out here. I'm glad that today we're going to talk about a mission that's going to be looking out here where we can't even see. I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. We can't see. And what does the scripture say? Eye has not seen, and ear has not heard what the Father has prepared for those who love him. In other words, Noah had no clue when God came to him and said, build a boat. Noah said, what's that? Build a boat, right? It'd be like if you went to the Sahara Desert and started to build an ark. That's dumb. Okay, so we have that. So you are here for your generation. Acts 13:36 says, David served God's purpose in his what? Own generation. In other words, David was meant for that time. Number three. Here we go. Number three. You can make a difference for your God. God is looking for someone. God is looking for someone to enlist. How many of you were in the military? How many of you enlisted? How many got drafted? All right. So for those of you who enlisted, you made that choice, right? For those of you who got drafted, was it a choice? Nope, but you did it, right? God is not going to draft you in the Lord's army. You guys remember that old song in Gideon? I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom on the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir, there we go. I was waiting for it. Okay, so you remember those, the Lord's army. God's army does not draft you. God wants people to enlist. God wants people to enlist in his army. And so look at the scripture from Chronicles 16:9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In other words, God is looking for someone to say, I want to pour my spirit into you. I want somebody willing that wants to be loved by me, and I want somebody who wants to stand out for me in this generation. But here's the problem. In Ezekiel 22, it tells us, God says, I look for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But I found what? None. God's looking for that person in Ezekiel and saying, where are they? Where are they? And he found no one. God is looking for you. Tell that person who you said God has a plan for you or God wants to do something to you, have an impact, tell them God's looking for you. Oh, no, you didn't do that well. Tell somebody next to you, God's looking for you. God's looking for you. And so here we are. We're taking this lap around, and we're getting in that last turn, and Noah's going to give us his lap wrap now. He's going to give us that last final thing. And the first thing that he's going to say here is, don't be afraid to stand out. Don't be afraid to stand out. I will tell you something. When God calls you, he asks you to do something that is completely insane and crazy. Noah built a boat in the middle of a desert. He took 120-some years to do this. All right? God is going to call you to do something that is against the flow. And I'm going to tell you, one of the reasons I believe we often don't make a difference is because we're no different. When we head in the same direction as everybody else, and we do what everybody else does, guess what? We're not going to make a difference because we're not different. God wants us to be different. Noah never, ever saw a drop of rain in his life. In 500 years, he never saw a drop. And then God tells him to build a boat, and it takes 120 years. Now I can say, all right, he hears from God, and God says, build this boat. Here's the plans. He says, okay, no problem. I don't know what gopher wood is, but I'll figure it out. So anyway, he goes ahead. He starts building it. He's building it, building it. But year 76, hello? You got this boat going on, and hello? People are going up and saying, what in the world are you doing? Rain, God, come on. All right, about year 99, hello, God, what is rain and where is it coming from and why am I building this thing? Right? Don't you think you would question that at some point in your life? Don't be afraid to stand out. I'm going to tell you, don't be afraid to stand out. When everybody else is gossiping, don't be afraid not to do it. When everybody else is being unethical at work and in life, don't be afraid to be moral and ethical. I teach an ethics class and you would not believe how difficult it is for people to do what's right and to think about what's right. And that doing what is right seems against the grain anymore. And when everybody else is doing it, doesn't mean you have to. In other words, don't be afraid. Proverbs 29 tells us this. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept what? Safe. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, it's hard to live righteous in an unrighteous world. But you're not alone. Noah did it. I think our church, Universal, is so dull to the unrighteousness of the world. I think we're just dull to that. There's a scripture that says we don't even blush. And you know what? We don't blush anymore, do we? Nothing tends to faze us anymore. We just go, wow, really? I believe it's time to do the right thing and to do it now. Number two. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to do something for the first time. One of the things that I found out is God, is when he calls you to do something, is going to call you to do something that makes no sense. And then he's going to also call you to do something that he's never done before. In other words, to be a difference maker, you have to be more concerned with obeying God than looking foolish. You will look foolish to people when they say they've never done, that's never been done before. I'm going to go back to this, and some of you have been here for a while, just bear with me. You may have heard some of this, but some of it you haven't heard. In starting this church, it made no sense to everybody. I actually had a person that was down in Lewis who took me out to lunch one day and said, are you crazy? He said, I'm looking at you. You have a career in the United Methodist Church ahead of you. You're a young guy. And he said, you're young. You're at this church that has, quote, 1,000 members. You could be a superintendent or you could be a bishop and I could see your career just going here. And you know what it does? You had this commitment to God, but then you're still starting to say, well, maybe he makes some sense. Well, you know, even after I left and I started church, this is something that other people may not even know. That actually one Sunday I wasn't here when we were down at the dance center down there. I wasn't there because a friend of mine, Bill Sammons in Lower Delaware, had asked me to speak at this one church. And this one church was a church that had a great building in a great area. And after I got done the message, Bill called me later that day and said, hey, they really loved you. They want you to come and be the pastor. Would you like to do that? We can work all this stuff out. I had another offer. Start a church. And so I'm looking at starting something from scratch and having this great building and this great structure, and they were going to give all this kind of stuff. And here I am in the midst of that thinking, okay, God, what do you do? And I had people that were supportive and in my life telling me, yeah, why don't you go take the sure thing? It's this or you have nothing right now. You with me? Here, that it made no sense to go ahead and turn down what you had for what you didn't have, but yet God told me and made me look at my heart and where my heart is. My heart was for this place here, for this generation. My heart was for this town and this area that I grew up with. Something else that God would call you to do. Over the last year, I did something that I never wanted to do. I got a counselor. That means I'm as messed up as all of you. Isn't that awesome? But I've always heard, counselors need counselors. I'm going to tell you, if you're dealing with stuff, go talk to somebody who has nothing invested in you except to help you through that. It's been one of the most eye-opening things, and it makes me stronger, not weaker. The lie of Satan is to say, you can handle it on your own. You don't need to be that. You're a pastor. You don't need anybody else to turn to. You got to hold it. You got to keep it with those broad shoulders. Come on, Jack. Your initials are JC. It's close to Jesus. Go for it. You know, you got to do that. And that's the stuff that will tear you apart unless you really reach out to people for help. Last time I saw, God never sent anybody else out alone. And I believe the way we schedule our churches is wrong. We put pastors in places and say, have at it. And we don't surround them with anybody. Jesus never said, Paul, go, enjoy. Peter, go, all by yourself. They always had each other to go back on. And you need people in your life. You need people in your life that love you unconditionally. Or at least you're just paying to listen to you unconditionally. All right? Hebrews chapter 11. Look at what it says about Noah. Here we are in that hall of faith. By faith, Noah, when warned about things what? Things what? Not seen. No rain. No flood. No nothing. In holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. I believe this is a moment that God wants to speak to somebody here or who's watching online today. That God is talking to you right now. Sometimes when you start to work with sermons, you get like, this is a moment. I believe God wants to whisper something to you. And there's power in whisper. Matter of fact, the scripture says, be still and know I'm God. Or be still so that you can hear that gentle whisper. And one of the reasons why we don't hear from God is because we are never still. So right now as we're here, I think God wants to say something to you. I think God wants to whisper to you. And he may say this, like, don't quit. Or he may say to you, take a risk. Or he may say, you need to apologize. Or he may say to you, time to get help. Or he may say to you, get away. Not from your marriage. Don't do that one, okay? Get away. From some of those relationships that are just tearing you apart, that are destroying you. He may say, slow down. He may say to you, that person that's in your head right now, after church, I want you to pick up the phone and call them. He may say, get started right now. Get started. He may say, stop worrying about if I am and just know who I am and let me love you. God is speaking to people right now as we are here. And, you know, this last one is my favorite part as we wind this up. It's always been my favorite part since I was a little kid. It's kind of corny, but I love it. But it's about the covenant sign, an agreement with God. And after God had flooded the earth and they brought him out and everything, there was in the sky what? A rainbow. Now, have you ever seen grown people when they see rainbows? If we went out here and saw a rainbow, we'd all be like, oh. And then when we get to double rainbow, we're like, oh. Maybe Lucky Charms is there, or maybe we can go get the, where's the gold at the end? And we're like, oh. And we like watch it. I remember the last double rainbow I saw, I was coming out of Walmart. And Walmart's an interesting place. As always, and everybody was like, and people had their cameras out like, and then all you had to look is rainbows. We still stop and we're like amazed by this in the sky. And I think one of the reasons why I'm still amazed by it, yeah, because it's beautiful and it happens this natural, incredible way, but also is the connection that I recognize that that's a promise from God. That scripture tells us that this was God's promise that he wouldn't destroy the earth by water as he did once before. And what I learned by this is, remember I remember this verse from, let me see this verse right here from Matthew chapter 28, where he gives the great commission where he says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That rainbow is like a promise just saying, hey, I'm still here. Even though there's the wickedness of Noah today, I'm still here with you, Jack. I got your back. I got you. Don't worry about all this. I got you. Remember how I said that there were two areas in the New Testament that talked about Noah, and they talked about the end times. And in 2 Peter, verse 36, 6 through 9, it says this. By these waters, what waters? The flood waters. Also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, what word? The word that God said, rain, waters, that destroyed the earth. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Okay, so here we have that when God promised, I won't destroy it by fire, but there is a day, a judgment day, that fire will destroy. But you know what's cool? Fire also refines when you look at it. And so here we have this day of judgment. And I know that many people love to go to church and hear, Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus and I are cool. Oh, yeah. But there is a part, and that's an awesome thing, because God does love you. He loves you so much, he sent his son, Jesus. But there is this part that we need to look forward to for the believer is the day of judgment, when Jesus will return. And many of us say, well, Jack, look around you. You said certain things. It can't get worse, but it will. And then we see this last part here. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some might understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So many of us may be saying, all right, Jack, well, where is God? It's bad. Look out there. You gave us these numbers. We see stuff on the news. I don't even like turning on the news because it's bad. And you say, well, where is he? Because look, God is not slow, but what God wants is everyone to repent and come to his son, Jesus. God does not want to annihilate all of anyone. Not one. So he's given this opportunity. He's like, come on, come on. And guess who he wants to use to have an influence in the world? The body of Christ. It's our job to share. And if we are just worried about ourselves, we will never, ever, ever reach the world for God. God is patiently waiting on all. He wants all to come back. And we know by the end of the book, it's not going to happen. There are some of those that you have that lifesaver for. There's some of those that are in your mind that you know that they just don't know Christ. And I had a pastor friend of mine who used to say, those people who are steeped in sin, you need to love the hell out of them, literally. You need to love them so much that hell just flees from them, that they come to know the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. Is there anyone in this world that you hate so much that you wish they'd burn in hell? If not, then we need to be like Noah. And we need to look at our sphere of influence. Who in your sphere of influence? Who in your sphere of influence does not know Christ? Noah's saying, Jack, believe me, it stinks. Worship team, come on up. I know it stinks. This the people, you think you got stuff? Hey, all those years when I was building the boat, nobody had a clue what it was, and I'm talking about rain, they had no clue about it, and here I am, even myself was saying, what's going on here? Then I'm stuck on a boat with a bunch of stinking animals and my family. Oh my gosh, it was hell. I thought I was in hell. I thought that would never run aground. I thought we'd never have dry land, but guess what? God did. And he will in your life too, Jack. Don't give up. Run that race, and remember, he's always with you, even to the end of the age. Amen? All right, everybody, stand on up. I love it when the littlest one in here is like, let's do some worship. Right? He's like, y'all stop. He's like, Jack, stop talking. Let's hear some of this music. All right? So I just want to pray for everyone. Lord God, when we're here today, everybody who's here today, I just want to go ahead and lift your name higher. We know that we live in a very unrighteous society and culture. We live in an area where you're calling your people who love you to do things that don't make sense. Sometimes things that have never been done. Sometimes things that haven't been done for a while. And sometimes, God, we're sitting there and we heard you say, hey, build this, hey, do this. And we're still got our hand out waiting for some rain. But God, when the flood waters come, we're ready. Help us fill that boat with those in our sphere of influence. God, only you can be the life giver and the life saver. And help us, by our salvation, guide people to you. As it was in the days of Noah, so it is today. So God, may you find more than just one righteous person. As your eyes are searching through the earth, may you find people here at Haven Community Church and those who are part of our church online who say, you know what, I've been doing it the wrong way. And I want to stand up and stand out for Christ. Amongst the crowd, I know what that comes with it, but I want to be righteous in an unrighteous area. I want to serve you. And I want to be more concerned with obeying you than the ridicule of the world. God, that changes lives. It changes lives. For anyone else here today who may just feel like they're outside the boat, they're knocking on the side of it and they can't get in, here's what they get to do, God. They just get to say, hey, Jesus, I'm a mess. I'm a mess. I put on a good front. Sometimes I don't put on a good front, and I'm broken. And I'm not sure about what all this means about this saving and whatever, but God, I can understand the image that I feel like I'm drowning. Drowning in my own life and the pressures and in illness and struggles and loss and everything around me. I feel like I'm drowning. And I'm going to take this guy, Jack at his word. And I'm going to say to you all right now that Jesus says, Psalm 40, he lifted me out of the miry bog. He set my feet upon a rock and made my footsteps firm. If you're sinking and you need Jesus to just reach out and lift you up, just where you are right now, say, just lift your hand where you are. That life may not have turned out the way you thought. That you're dealing with incredible loss, incredible hurt right now. Or you may be living great life, but you have no clue what direction you're headed. Time to get on SS Jesus. Let him lead you to where you need to be. God, for all the things that are here and all the concerns that people have today, I give you thanks that you brought them here to connect to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. as I was just sitting there, I was just thinking about like the words of that song, and just like that's probably how Noah was feeling. I mean, it, you know, just you're stepping in areas you don't know, and what I kind of feel right now is I just as I was sitting there seeing it, I just kind of saw like feet walking in areas of hurt and pain, and I believe that God wants us to walk in areas that aren't comfortable for us, right? There's we shared several things today in our own community, in our own community of faith, in our own family, using that definition that we use, our own household, our own sphere of influence, where people are just broken and hurting. And so don't be afraid to walk in those areas, that the waters may rise, but you will walk on the waters. You know, Peter got out of the boat. Jesus said, come. Every single one of those disciples could have gotten out of the boat, but only Peter. We beat him up a lot, don't we, from him stepping out and starts looking at the wind and waves and starts singing. But he's the only one that, you know, I'm sure he was later back at the place saying, yeah, you guys sat in the boat. I walked, right? Don't you want to go to God and say, at least I walked on water. At least I walked on water with you. At least I did the impossible. Dream the impossible. God is a God of the impossible. So let's stop putting it in a box. Let's see what God can do in our community and larger world. Amen? All right, next week we wrap this up with the biggest dog of them all. His name is Jesus. And he's going to... How many would love to take a lap around your life with Jesus? And he's going to tell us a lot next week, all right? So we will see you next week. Please don't forget the people that we lifted up in prayer for loss and other things. And may God's grace just be with them and you. Amen.